Friends, I want to share with start the sermon today out with a little bit of humor. It goes like this. One time a new pastor came to a church and he preached a sermon that the people just loved. It was perfect that in that it discussed just the right things. The story goes that the next week he preached the same sermon. And while the congregation enjoyed it, they were just a little confused that he gave the same sermon twice. Now the following week, he preached the same sermon yet again. And this time the people moved from confusion to concern about why this guy kept repeating himself week after week. And guess what happened the next week? That's right. He preached the same sermon again. After the service, the leaders came to him and told him they would like him to preach about something different next week. You know what the pastor's response was? When you start living this sermon, I'll preach a new sermon. Now, I share this joke because I'm pretty sure that some of you will probably get tired of hearing me talk about our new focus, vision, and identity as being the church of hospitality. But I do want to reiterate this morning, as I did last week, that hospitality, brothers and sisters, reflects the gospel. It is the crucial aspect of the compassionate life of Christ. And we've all heard sermons directing us to pray for our enemies, to bless those who curse us, and to love our neighbors as Jesus loves us. And what I hope that you will begin to see and understand through this continuation of my sermons somewhere having a lens through the lens of hospitality is that when you and I have a spirit of hospitality, when you and I practice hospitality, what we're actually doing is practicing spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Now, I told my wife, because I was really excited about this sermon. I thought, man, this is going to be something. And she got hung up on this word, spiritual warfare, and just could not get off of it. So don't be like T, but be like me, all right? Because spiritual warfare is not that we're always being attacked. It's not a response to the enemy. But spiritual warfare can also be on the offense, right? It doesn't have to be in the posture of defense, but it can be an attitude of taking the initiative, being on the offense of ministering to those. It's a Christian action whereby we take the gospel upstream to the culture war. Now, some of you are going to say, well, preacher, I really don't understand what you mean. Or I assumed you would. So let me share with you in simplistic terms, not my words, but words from another author that I found that I thought were fitting in describing what I'm trying to get across. He says this, when we are in each other's lives daily, we're not operating with ignorance or stereotypes about other people and their lifestyles. We don't have to wonder what our unbelieving neighbor thinks about us because he's sitting right here passing the potatoes and telling us exactly what he thinks. Hospitality. It's a demand for us to get involved in the lives of others. We like to say taking the church outside the walls of the building. Now, I will say that hospitality, friends, not only demands of us to accept folks on their own terms and to receive the individual along with their woundedness, but it is also an action that imparts grace. Much like God does when we embrace the sacrament of baptism. Yet just as the celebration and practice of baptism nurtures and grows the family of God, so does the gift of hospitality. So my plan for our sermon time today is to invite us to see the gift of God's hospitality through the baptism of Jesus. Okay? So I want to ask you to join with me this morning. If we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to skip a few verses in one section. So we're going to read verses 3, 15 through 18, and then jump down and read verses 21 and 22. All right? So the words should be provided for you on the screen or on the screen behind me if you're here in person. And join with me in verse 15 where it says, "The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, 'I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not even worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husk is in his hands, and he will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husk with a fire that can't be put out.' But many other words John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people." Then in verse 21 it says, "When everyone was being baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven saying, 'You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you, I find happiness.'" It is our tradition here at Green Forest to conclude each reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God." And all respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Almighty God, we come this morning hungering for a fresh revelation of your word, an anointing of your spirit, asking God that you continue to mold us in your image, helping us to see how the simple things of life, when done with the right intent and done with the spirit of hospitality, have eternal impact upon our communities. So again, Lord, help us to receive this message today with fresh eyes and fresh ears. And I pray, God, that your Spirit will speak through me in a way that ministers to each one that's listening. I pray, Lord, for the person who feels they need this sermon the most, just as I pray for the one who feels they need it the least. May you be glorified this day. And may each of us exalt you in our hearts and in our actions. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, what we just read is about one of 10 events of the life of Jesus that's recorded in all four Gospels. So for those of you who are Bible scholars, you know that this is a very rare thing to find something that happens in the life of Christ that is actually recorded in all four Gospels. Now, I say that because many theologians have looked at these four accounts of the baptism of Jesus and studied the words associated with each one, and a person could go out on the internet and Google this, and you would see, I think it's called myriad, I call it a myriad, forgive me for my ignorance, but a myriad of explanations and interpretations regarding this specific event in the life of Jesus. And what you could find, you'd see things anywhere from marking the beginning of his earthly ministry to raising questions of why Jesus needed John's baptism for the sin, for the repentance of sins, to even the symbolism of Christ dying on the cross. And that's just to name a few. While I do not disagree with any of those theological concepts, this is not the intention of our time together, nor the path that I am wanting us to journey down. Rather, there are a few expressions about God's hospitality seen in Jesus' baptism that I would like for us to concentrate upon this morning. So let's get started. Within our text, we see that God used baptism as a direct means of uniting a person to himself. Now, I know that I'm not trying to take away that Jesus is divine. But remember, We as Trinitarian Christians believe that God, that Christ had two natures, 100% human as well as 100% God. And we're talking about the 100% human part in his baptism. For baptism is a gift from God whereby a seal of affirmation is given freely for any and all who choose to accept it. Baptism, my friends, is an outward expression of God's hospitality saying to the individual, I will always love you. I will always claim you. I will always forgive you. I desire you to be my child. I mean, think about it, church. Of all the times that God could have spoken these words, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Of all the times that he could have said it, it was at this moment that we hear this proclamation. Now, many theologians who study these accounts want to say, and may be true, that only Jesus and John the Baptizer were the ones to witness this verbal interaction with God. And that might be true. But don't miss the other context of the story. And that is this. Scriptures clearly detail that Jesus was not only united with God, but he was also united with others through baptism. Now, you may not see the significance of that, but I do. So let me share it with you. Baptism, my friends, was never intended to be a divisive tool that the church has made it out to be today. Baptism has always been about uniting people to God and to each other. Now, another expression of God's hospitality in this baptism of Jesus is the promises of God's blessings. We here in the United Methodist Church, we use a term for what happens when one is baptized. We call it regeneration. And look, I'm not wanting to step off into theology 101 with you this morning. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not a single action performed only for Jesus. Baptism unleashes all the gifts, graces, and fruit of God's Spirit upon the person who is the recipient of baptism. And while individuals have the choice as to whether or not they use these things in their life or for the glory of God, it does not change the fact that the gift of baptism comes with all the promised blessings of God so that we can live lives worthy of God's calling. Baptism, my friends, is an empowerment for me and you to live obediently. Baptism is given to us as a gift to equip each of us to be the agents of change that God has called us to be. Baptism is supposed to enable us to have dependency upon God. Now, I hope you heard what I just said. Baptism is to enable us to live in dependency upon God. And I chose that word intentionally, even though in today's mindset, that word enable has negative cognitions with it. Yet God enables each of us through the Holy Spirit to be bold, to be courageous, and to be defiant to the way the world, the enemy, and even other Christians seek to limit our impact for the kingdom of God. Baptism, my friends, is an expression of God's hospitality that is filled with his gifts of blessings and promises. Now, because of our time, I'm only going to highlight one last expression of God's hospitality visualized through Jesus' baptism. And that is this. Baptism is about an opportunity for new beginnings. Baptism is about an opportunity for new beginnings. No doubt, Jesus had a new beginning after his baptism. Amen? It may not be one that we want to visualize as the Spirit leads him into the wilderness, but there was a new beginning for Christ. If we would have read the account of Christ's baptism in the Gospel of Mark, you would have seen what I'm talking about because he would have said, at once the Spirit sent him into the wilderness. But here again, if we understand God's hospitality as being a proactive measure as a spiritual warfare so that you and I can live as faithful, fruitful followers of Jesus Christ, then you see that in this baptism, in this expression of hospitality, God give this to him in preparation for him to go into the wilderness, affirming him and who he was so that when he was attacked by the devil, spiritual warfare had already been in play on his behalf so that he could withstand all the temptations that the enemy would throw at him. We just started a brand new year, believing that we can have new beginnings on financial plans or financial goals, health goals, and vacation experiences. But what are your spiritual goals for this new year? What about the new beginnings that are promised to each of us that we have recited at some time in our lives when we recited our baptismal vows? Because they weren't only given to you for that one day, but they're extended to us afresh and new each and every day we're blessed to have on this earth. You see, God desires for each of us to have new beginnings. Beginnings are deeply entrenched in the character of our Creator. Every day, I believe God yearns for humanity to have new beginnings. Beginnings that break generational curses. New beginnings that change the trajectory of one's life from chaos, confusion, and lack of continuity to a life of purpose, passion, pursuit of godly wisdom and blessings. Baptism invites us to become willing participants in the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. Now, I've said a lot of things that you all have heard me say repetitively in the last 4.5 years you've had to endure me as your preacher. But I really hope and pray that you are beginning to see the connection between the hospitality of God and what this means for us and to us and our practices of hospitality. You see, everything that we do corporately and individually should be bathed in this same spirit of hospitality. And just in case I missed the mark in communicating clearly what I see from God's hospitality that should nurture and guide us, then let me say them again. Our practices of hospitality to be godly. Well, they should design our practices to be actions that unite people to people and people to God. And while we cannot make anyone accept the promised blessings of God, we definitely need to be a reflection of those blessings. This means our hospitality is as much about meeting someone's physical and spiritual needs as it is about empowering, equipping, and enabling folks to see God at work in their lives. Listen, I was in Harps yesterday. Come across a family that only knows me from the streets. And when I first met these folks, I don't know their status or their relationship with Jesus. But because of God placing me in their path and our interactions, do you know yesterday I stood in Harps for 35 minutes listening to them to praising God about how they're seeing God working in their lives? And that was not a conversation I had with them 2.5 years ago. Now, I'm not saying I did anything other than had a spirit of hospitality about them. I didn't see their brokenness. I didn't see that they didn't have any teeth. I didn't see that they looked like they hadn't had a bath in a couple of days. I didn't see that they were poor. I didn't see everything that we always label people with. What I saw was people made in the image of God, and I treated them as such. Now, again, I'm not bragging about me. I'm just trying to give you a simple illustration of how this works. I didn't invite them to my house. I didn't take them out to lunch. I didn't do anything. I treated them with respect and accepted them for who they were. And through that simple act and spirit of hospitality, God has begun to work in their lives in ways that become a blessing to me yesterday as they stood in the middle of Harps unashamedly praising Jesus to the top of their lungs. And people having to walk around them or take aisles to go around them because they refused to move while they were celebrating what God was doing in their lives. Radical? You bet. But if you want to be a follower of Christ, He calls you to be radical. He calls you to do the things that people find uncomfortable. He calls you to be an expression, visually and verbally, of His goodness, of His grace, of His hospitality. And last but not least, I hope what you see from this sermon is this. Our practices of hospitality, viewing my interpretation of God's hospitality through the baptism of Jesus, is about always extending hospitality to someone in hopes that they have a new beginning in their life. Sometimes those beginnings become realities long after our initial contact, kind of like the story I just shared. But if we understand how the power of God's hospitality, that joyous, authentic, generous, countercultural, and hope-filled hospitality has changed the world from the moment Jesus was baptized, then why would we think they would have any different outcome when we embrace it today as His sons and daughters? Again, I hope we will begin to see as a church that our hospitality is yet just another symbol of the light of Christ. It is a light that reminds folks that when they go through times of darkness, there's a community that will bring them back, that bring back that light into their lives in the same way that God does for each of us. And just as we have seen that baptism is the announcement of God's desire to be in relationship with us, our practice of hospitality is our announcement to this community that we desire to be in relationship with all who make up this community. So maybe you are like T and not as excited about this sermon as I am. But because I plan on preaching on this, next week you all will have a blessing. I won't be here. Kevin Robinson will be preaching. So for all of you who are watching at home and all of you who are present who are tired of hearing me preach, hallelujah for you. Kevin's going to be here next Sunday. Come on in. Fill the pews. Listen to what he's got to say. But when I get back from Key West on the 23rd, we will pick up again looking at whatever the Scripture says, if any way possible, through the lens of hospitality. So I won't continue on this topic anymore. Let me just close with this. I saw a Twitter hashtag this week that read, "Hospitality is good for the giver because it puts our lives and hearts on display." Man, I thought that was powerful. And one of the reasons I thought it was powerful because it gave me an opportunity to ask you a very intentional question. And that is this. When you examine your actions of hospitality, what does it display to you about your own heart in life? I hope and pray that each of you are edified. But if you're not, then friends, it's time to get on board with the spirit of hospitality. I offer this to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.